We are going to be in John 1, 1 through 14 today. So the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 1, 1 through 14. Now last week, for those of you who weren't able to join us, we talked about Psalm 106. We're in a two-part series, part two of that two-part series. And last week was really the cause for the reason for the season. You know, we hear all the time that Christmas is for Christ and that we need to know the reason for the season, but there was a reason that Christ had to come, and Psalm 106 sums that up quite nicely for us by explaining how time and time again, even though humanity failed to glorify and honor God, God still held true to his decrees, to his covenants, still brought redemption and salvation throughout time. That no matter what humans had done in the process, God was faithful to his word. And so today we are going to read a Christmas story. I guarantee you that most of you have probably read John chapter 1 and never thought about Christmas within it. But as all the Gospels take time to look at Christ's coming and his birth, to highlight it, John just takes a very different approach to it. But John's approach gives us the best understanding of the reason for the season, because he spells it out so clearly. And so that's what we're going to take some time today, is to understand a little bit about what John's talking about, so that we, as we come into these last couple weeks before Christmas, can truly sit and say we understand why we celebrate Christmas, why we come before our God and celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so if you could please stand as we read John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were created through him, and apart from him not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him. Yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observe his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Well, Holy Father, we come before you today and we ask for your wisdom to be shed upon us, that you open your word to us so that we may truly understand it. Not just the understanding of knowledge that we can recite it, but an understanding that it impacts us deeply and completely, to change our lives, that we become that which glorifies you. Lord, we pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So as I said, John's Christmas story is hard to recognize as a Christmas story. But we see that he talks about how God was born into the flesh. It talks about Jesus being proclaimed. It talks about the gift that is to come, just as all the other Christmas stories do. But he takes a different bent, because John has this concept in his head that there is much more to the story than just physical earthly happenings, that there's things going on above and beyond it. So John starts his first 14 verses of his gospel with probably the most condensed version of our understanding of Christ. that anybody gives us. Literally in three verses, he sums up all of what we believe in Christ, or sets at least the footprint and the blueprint for how we build, how we understand Christ. Now, you see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning, and all things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. See, what John's reminding us is that this little gift that we got was a big deal in such a little package. Think about it. We, during Christmas, celebrate a tiny infant coming into this world. A chance to remember how precious. For all of us who have had children or ever held a kid in our hands, we know exactly how precious life is. As we cradle it and we listen to it. And we are comforted by the way it breathes. We understand innately how precious that life is. Not only that, but how delicate that life is. Any parent that sat over a kid's bed as they were sick with a cold and having problems breathing or had some kind of infection that was causing fevers and you sit there and you fret over it, you suddenly understand how delicate life is at that stage. But yet, the gift that we receive in Christ, this larger than large gift of salvation, comes from the Maker, from the Creator, this idea so vast we don't even comprehend it fully. The words that are given to us probably create more confusion because we can't in our human minds associate what it truly means to the words that we as humans can give it because we are so finite. This God, the Creator of all things, comes in a small child, delicate, precious. But John wants us to understand that this precious little gift, this little child, is what brings all of creation into existence. So this big deal, God walking on earth, first happens in a little package. Now we get introduced to this concept, the Word. Logos is the Greek for it. Logos, simply translated, means the Word. That's all it means, is the Word. So for however, within both Greek theology and philosophy and within the Hebrew or the Jewish tradition coming up, it meant so much more than that. We see that in the Greek side, it was a unifying principle of all knowledge in the world, a unifying principle that wrapped amongst all people, that brought them all together. Isn't that a beautiful picture? One word, one concept unifying all of humanity, bringing in a common knowledge. See, then we move over to the Hebrew side of things. The Hebrew concept of the Word was how God connected to the world. These words, these ideas were around before Christ was born. See, we get the filter of Christ being born and going to the cross on us, and they say it makes a lot more sense to us. But their idea of the Word, when it was used in a context of theology or philosophy, had so much more to it. This unifying measure between humanity inside the Hebrew world, the concept of how God interacted with the world. There's no doubt in my mind that John, as he's writing this, understands these concepts fully and completely, and he uses them to his advantage because he now creates an understanding for who Jesus was that both the Greek and the Jew can understand. Because to the Greek, Jesus becomes the unifying principle, the concept of reasonable thought or human reason. He becomes the center of it to them. To the Hebrew, Jesus becomes how God interacts with the world. Emmanuel. We start understanding how much more of a Christmas story John chapter 1 is instead of just becoming a theological moment, we start understanding how much more John was trying to explain to us. See, Jesus, in one word, logos, becomes complete reason and unification amongst humankind and how God interacts with the world, so that two populations can come together to the understanding that Jesus is one thing and the same thing to both of them. There's another word that we have in here, this concept of theos, which is God. We have to be a little careful because if you haven't noticed, John 1 looks an awful lot like Genesis 1. In the beginning was God, and God spoke, and he created light. Now we have to be a little bit careful because when we put those two together, while they're very similar, they have very different things, because in Genesis 1, God created light. But here, John is telling us that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, theos, and you can see it up on the board, T-H-E-O-S, is God. This word next to it, theos, a little bit different, or theos, a little bit different on pronunciation than theos, means divine. And the beautiful thing about this is we can be sure that John wanted us to understand that the Word was God. Not separated, and not simply just divine. He could have simply, by adding one letter inside his scripture here, or inside his gospel, he could have given us the idea that Jesus was just divine, brought by God. But instead, he makes it very clear and uses this word theos, T-H-E-O-S, over and over again to make sure that we understood that he was God and that the Word was God. This is important for us to grasp because this isn't telling us that Jesus was just a man who came to do good things in God's name. No, this was God who came to fulfill his will here on earth. And now logos, the Word, becomes this deep understanding of how God interacts with the world through Jesus Christ in the flesh, walking amongst us. We also see next that, like every good Christmas story, Jesus is proclaimed, but yet we have no angels. But yet, we have John the Baptist. We read in verse 6, there was a man named John who was sent from God. And he came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify about the light. See, John, who writes this, is John who's sitting at the final table, the one that Jesus loved. And so he pulls out and he talks. He's not John the Baptist talking in third person. He's talking about John the Baptist who came. This is the same John the Baptist who was in the womb and when Mary walked in, leapt because he understood that Mary was carrying Jesus Christ. We'll hear these stories next week, and on the 24th, we'll actually take a look at the normal, or I don't want to say normal because they're all normal, but the more regularly told Christmas story. But here, just like any good Christmas story, Jesus is proclaimed to be who he is, the light in this world, the salvation that he is. But instead of angels coming to shepherds in the fields or coming to Mary and Joseph and explaining things, here we have God divinely intervening in a human's life, raising him up to be a witness, to testify to who Jesus would be. Now, John was sent by God, but they wanted to make sure that we understood that he was not the same as the light. He wasn't another God. He wasn't another prophet, but simply testifying to. That's why he's called John the Baptist and not John the prophet. He's hasn't been given anything special by God other than an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. He isn't proclaiming what Jesus will do. He's simply proclaiming who Jesus is. So there's a difference between that prophecy and being a witness. Because John witnessed to the glory of God through Jesus Christ instead of saying what Jesus Christ would do as the prophets of the old times had done. Secondly, as he bears the witness, he bears it about the light that is to come through Jesus Christ. But they wanted to make sure that what everybody understood was that John was not the light. Now, John the Baptist told this over and over again, and we see this at the moment of baptism of Jesus Christ, when Jesus walks up to John and John steps back and says, "I'm not worthy to baptize you." He understood that he was not the light, that Jesus was the focal point, that Jesus was who God was working through. Because Jesus was God. John the Baptist understood what John, the gospel writer, knew. That Jesus was the light in this world. And so that leaves us with, what does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? Why do we celebrate Christmas the way we celebrate Christmas? While salvation is important, we celebrate salvation in Easter, or we celebrate salvation at Easter time. So why does Christmas become so important that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, other than the fact that he becomes our Savior? It's because of this that John tells us that he wasn't just our Savior, but he was the light in the world. That he was a light that pierced the darkness. That who he was brought newness to the world around him. That he was special in the way that how he lived life, how he carried through and did things was contrary to what the world was. And so we celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection. And Easter, we celebrate Christmas for the fact of his life, the life that he lived. Because that is what we can watch and live by. By watching what Jesus did through the words of the Bible, we can understand what it means to live life in a good and righteous way that glorifies God. So we read in verses 4, life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. The darkness is the fallen or the brokenness of humanity. That is the darkness that they're talking about. So when we think about it, Jesus was sent to live a life here on earth so that he could pierce the darkness of what humanity was living and doing and carrying on. And be an example or a light to lead down a path. Because what happens when you walk in the dark down a wooded trail or along a cliff or something like that? You stumble, you run into trees, you trip over roots, you bane yourself up. But what happens when you have a light guiding you? You can walk through those difficult times, through that path that is all rocky and stumbly and, you know, causing pain and suffering. You can walk with assured footage. Why? Because you can see where you need to step and see. So Jesus comes to the earth. God comes to the earth as our light to lead us through the darkness. And the beauty is sometimes, like, even when you're carrying a flashlight, that light doesn't shine into the darkness real far, real good, so you don't really know what's coming up. But this light here that Jesus Christ is said to be, cannot be overcome by the darkness. So we sit before God with a light in front of us that we can always see. It is always there. It is always bright enough to guide us through those tough times. This is the light that we celebrate in Christmas. This is the life we celebrate in Christmas. This is why Jesus needs to be the focal point of Christmas. We need to step back for a second occasionally and remember it's not about all the other stuff that we try to make a priority. And we need to make Jesus our priority. We need to focus on that light that guides us through all the difficult times. We need to focus on that light that brings joy to our lives and hope to difficult situations. And when we focus on that, we'll have a lot more fun with all this other stuff. Many of us will come together with family. Many of us will come together and go do parties and different events. And we struggle or we fret about, oh, is this right? Or did I get the chicken cooked just right in that casserole? Or did those cookies come out just right? Did I get the right gift for this person or that person? And when we start focusing on all that, instead of focusing on glorifying Christ through his celebration or through the celebration of his birth, we lose sight of the light. The light shines as bright as it has always shone, but we've turned our back to it. And you can only see the light when you're looking at it. We read that the world did not recognize him. He was in the world, and the world was created through him. Could you imagine being the creator of something, and you come walking in, and it won't even say hello to you? It doesn't even recognize you. You're the wallflower that moves through the room without even being noticed. This is what Jesus experienced. He was at creation. He was what creation happened through. And yet when he returned and came in the flesh to his creation didn't recognize him. In fact, those people that he lived among, who witnessed all the great glorious things that happened throughout his life, never recognized him for who he was. This is the state that we sit in too often. When I say we, I mean us collectively as humans. But even us sitting in this room sometimes forget truly who Jesus was and the grandness that it was in him. John points out in the beginning that the Word was with God and was God, and all things were created through him. So Jesus wasn't just our Savior, but he was our Creator. And all those things that we're blessed with, all those things that we enjoy when we wake up and we see a beautiful sunrise, or as we're rolling down the road at night and we see the beautiful sunset, or on a rainy day when you get those beautiful shots of really dark clouds with bright light coming through them. He's the creator of all that beauty. The way that life works and weaves itself, he's the creator of that connection. How relationships grow and are felt. He's who created that beauty and that need within us to be in relationship. He is so much more than just our Savior. And not that it's not a great thing, he is our Savior, but he is so much more. And John was pointing this out in his Christmas story. That when we lose sight of how great and how much more Jesus was than just the gift that he brings in the end, we lose sight of what Jesus' life meant. And then John talks about the gift. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, or of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. This is the gift of salvation. That if you believe in Jesus Christ, that if you come into understanding the reason for the season and understanding why Jesus was born and lived the life that he lived so that he could die on the cross, the gift on the end, understanding who Christ was and having faith that Christ was who he was, you are made children of God. This is why we celebrate Christmas. The hope that is given to us in the tiny package of an infant, so delicate and precious. Being cared for by his creation. I have a question for you. Would any of you entrust something as precious as something you created to itself? Or would you sit back and try to control it and guide it? But God entrusts himself as an infant to humanity. I want to let that sit for a second. God, the Creator, who through all things are made, entrusted his creation with himself. God is so much more than we can ever understand. To stand before our God and not recognize in Jesus Christ the fullness of God, we lose the meaning of what it meant that he came in flesh to walk with us, to live with us, to have relationship with us personally. We lose the ability to grasp the fullness of what his salvation brings upon us. The ability to walk in and be children of God simply by recognizing God for who God is in Jesus Christ. We lose the understanding of what the gift truly was. It wasn't simply salvation, but it was an understanding of the fullness of God and the completeness of God and how God wanted to be with us. So bad, so much that he was willing to come as a child and live with us, walk with us, suffer with us, experience the same trials, the same temptations as us. So when we celebrate the birth of an infant, we truly celebrate the life that that infant lived. And we need to celebrate the entire life that that infant lived, not just the end of it. Because it's through that celebration, that understanding, that we can grow, that we can live a life that glorifies God. It's in that understanding, in that celebration, that we can be something so much more than what our flesh will allow us to be. Because at that point, we start living the glory that we saw in Christ. And it's not our glory, it's God's glory, because he showed us directly. We're doing nothing more than mimicking what he has shown us to live as. I had the honor this last week to be with the Gladhams as they went through a tough time in their life. And on Friday we talked a little bit after, but one thing that always impressed me about Darlene Faith was just how she lived her faith on her sleeve. And whether or not, you know, there were bad days or good days, she always took the time to remember who her Savior was and the life that he lived and why she felt so adamantly about the life she had to live. When we celebrate Christmas across all of who God is, not just the one moment that brought us the gift that we care about, but that we celebrate the life that Jesus lived, the life that shows us how we should try to live, when we celebrate that way, then we can be the light that God asks us to be. This light that is never overcome by darkness, that shines through darkness. He's placed inside of us through the Holy Spirit. He's given us an opportunity to be some of that light. And so when we see on this one slide right here that let the light shine bright, it's not just Jesus, but it's in us. When we carry the Holy Spirit with us, when we believe that Christ was and we live as Christ has instructed us, we become that light. And we get to share in planting the hope that God plants in all of humanity. When we start living those lives, these offerings that we take up, and we see how it stretches out across the borders and into places that we ourselves can't travel, but other people can, we see the light extending to the deepest and darkest places. When we start living that life, we start seeing how we in our community can overcome some of the issues that are affecting it. When we become the light that Christ has placed in us, instead of clouding it and letting our lamps become dark from the smoke, that is when we can honor and glorify God. See, Christ was this beautiful, perfect light because he didn't have sin. I don't know if anybody realizes this, but fuel that for lighting lamps, when it's pure, when it's perfectly pure, burns extremely clear without much darkness. Think about a fire. When it starts burning really hot, you lose some of that smoke because all the impurities are being burned out of it. And Jesus was this perfect example of the light, crystal clear, never clouded. See, now if we as flesh were put into that, there'd be a lot of smoke and our lantern would get very dark very quick because we'd fill it with our impurities. But because he's placed the Holy Spirit, this perfect fuel inside of us, when we live the life by the Holy Spirit, we can be some of that light. And while we'll never be the perfect light because we will always be attached to our flesh, we can shine a little bit brighter, a little bit cleaner, a little bit more intensely. This is why we should celebrate Christmas. We have the opportunity to try to live the life that Christ lived. We'll never do it fully, but we can walk that path. As long as we never turn our back to him, we'll always have that light out there to keep us moving in the right direction. We may stub our toes occasionally, but we will never fall off the cliff or into the hole because we'll be able to see it. When you come into Christmas, you need to celebrate all of Jesus, not just the one moment at the end where God delivers a gift that we all want. Because it is throughout Jesus' life that hope is brought in. Because Jesus lived the life he did, we know that the promise he makes in the end is true. It's because of the life he lived and how he taught us to live that we can understand the hope of eternal life. So when we come into Christmas, this is what we need to focus on. As we leave here today, I want you to think about how you can help Jesus' light shine bright into those places that he may not be right now. Jesus himself, the light that goes through all darkness, has returned to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. But he's given us the light of the Holy Spirit to be that light in this world. And so as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate the life that Jesus lived in its entirety, for the greatness that Jesus was as the creator of all things, not just for the one moment, we can bring that hope into those dark places by simply bringing his name. So as you're going through, don't be afraid this week or next week to say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. Don't be afraid to proclaim why we celebrate Christmas. Don't let merchants steal it as a way to increase their pocketbooks. Don't let the world steal it as being some holiday that can be moved anywhere for any reasons. No, Christmas was for one reason only, to celebrate Jesus Christ born in the flesh. And if we do not, as Christians, carry and proclaim, as John the Baptist proclaimed Jesus as God, then all we're doing is allowing society to hijack our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to let the world who did not recognize him, did not see him, did not accept him, steal his glory. And we need to remember that his glory, the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, if we as Christians do not stand before our communities, before our society, and proclaim Christ, proclaim Jesus' name and the power that comes with it, then his glory, the fullness of his grace and his truth is diminished. Because we joined the ranks of the world who did not recognize him for who he was and what he has done. So celebrate Christmas with hope in your hearts for the promise that's been given to us. But celebrate and proclaim with pride for who you are as children of God. Just as any family who's really proud about the things that have happened inside of it, we need to be proud of the family we are and what has happened in our family. As children of God, we gain some of the inheritance through the promise of the Father and by the gift of the Son. And so we come into Christmas celebrating all of who Christ is, joyfully proclaiming, singing, and making sure that everybody around us knows very well what Christmas is about and why we celebrate Christmas. Amen? Amen. Amen.